Let's pray. Lord, we come before you and we lift this time and this message up to you. We put them into your hands. We ask that you do your will with it. Whatever's from you, let it find a home in our hearts and change us. Whatever's not, let it go its own way. Amen. We've been looking at fasting for the past couple of weeks, and we've seen that most of what we know about fasting is, what fasting is and how or when it should be done, comes from examples and story narratives, more than it comes from simply proclaimed doctrine. God wants us to understand the why of fasting, so he makes us think about it, work at it a little. Much of Scripture on the subject teaches us through the negative. It shows us what fasting is by telling us what it's not. So far, we've seen that spiritual fasting has no association with dieting or the physiological response to stress, and that fasting is not a substitution for obedience, not something we can do to avoid doing something else that God tells us to do. This morning, I want to take a look at another thing that spiritual fasting is not, a means of building equity or collateral with God. Job 41:11 says this, "Who has given to me that I should repay him? Whatever is under the whole heaven is mine." Fasting is not a hoop we can jump through to get what we want from God. Fasting is a step we take in asking God what he wants from us. It is designed to help mute the voice of our flesh that tries to shout down the voice of God. Fasting helps our spirit hear the voice of God. It is not designed to make God hear and heed the voice of our flesh. Did you ever get an update for your phone? You get that little warning there. But before you can update, you have to agree to the terms and conditions which are presented to you to read. I've never once read those voluminous terms and conditions. I simply check the box that says I agree with the terms and conditions which I have not read, so that I can get what I want. I have no idea what I'm agreeing to. I don't so much make an uninformed decision as I make a decision to be uninformed. It is simply a means to an end that I desire. By clicking the agree button is a foregone conclusion. It doesn't matter what the terms and conditions state. I need my phone to work, and I need it now. I've won 410 straight games of free sale. I can't risk losing that. Honestly, I have. I just thought I'd point that out. It's a nice chance to say that. The possibility that the terms I agree to may allow Apple to harvest one of my kidneys at any time and place of their convenience without anesthesia seems to be a small price to pay in order to obtain unfettered access to the joke of the day or the wonderful world that is Amazon.com on my phone. Honestly, I get a present in the mail almost every day from Amazon, and it's always just what I wanted because it's from me. Who wants to lose that? At times, we do the same thing with our physical expressions of spiritual truths. We attend church, take communion, tithe, get baptized, say grace out loud, repeat prayers, and occasionally even fast. They become a means to achieving our ends through God, not a means of obtaining God's end through us. Deep inside, we at times view such things as the agree button of our faith, the things we perceive we have to do to get what we want. We push the button without knowing or understanding what we're accepting or what we're doing. And as always, the why we push the button matters more to God than how or when we push the button. We can come to view fasting, along with the inseparable companion of it, prayer, as something we simply have to do to get what we want. If I do this, then God will be obligated to provide me with the service that I desire. Fasting become part of a magic incantation that we've created in our own minds to help us feel that we have control, that we have power in our lives and in this world. I did what God wanted me to do, so now he has to do what I want him to do. God owes me one because I fasted. Brothers and sisters, God owes us nothing. The sooner we come to grips with this, the less confusing this life will be. The book of Job addresses this matter in great detail. God is the potter, we are the clay, and there is only one thing that will sway what his hand forms out of our lives during our brief time on the spinning celestial potter's wheel. Humility. Humility cannot be counterfeited or faked. You cannot fool God. He clearly sees which of the two options of life you are presenting to him. even if you don't see it. It is either pride or it is humility. It is no victory if you can fool yourselves or other men or even me, because God cannot be fooled. He knows the difference between pride and humility by their smell before his throne. Pride smells of decay. Humility is pleasant and sweet. If your fast is offered in pride, it carries the pungent smell of death and decay to the throne of God. If it is offered in humility, the smell is pleasing to the Lord. Fasting in order to obtain the will of your flesh literally stinks to the high heaven. 2 Corinthians 2:14 through 16. But thanks be to God, who always leads us in the triumph of Christ, and manifests through the sweet aroma of the knowledge of him in every place. For we are the fragrance of Christ to God. We are the fragrance of Christ to God. Among those who are being saved and among those who are perishing, to one an aroma from death to death, to the other an aroma from life to life. And who is adequate for these things? God can tell by the smell of what we offer him whether it is pride or humility, whether it is alive from the spirit or dead from the flesh. He makes it clear in Micah 6:6-8. He says, with what shall I come to the Lord and bow myself before the God of high? Shall I come to him with burnt offerings, with yearling calves? Does he take delight in the thousands of rams and 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I present my firstborn for my rebellious acts, the fruit of the body, for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? What does God want from you? To do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God. God requires that we walk humbly before him. And this humility is proven by how we treat each other. If you treat others poorly, if you don't pursue the right thing simply because it is right, if you don't have a passion for kindness and instead cling to harshness, then you are not pleasing to God and you're not doing what he requires, no matter what you lay on that altar, no matter what you do in church, no matter if you fast or not. The distance between you and your God can only be closed by these things, by justice, kindness, and humility. No amount of fasting can make your lack of love for kindness or lack of passion for justice and humility all right. Fasting is not a means to avoid these things. It is a means of repenting for not doing them. Fasting, like all other outward signs of the spiritual, is not a means of obliging God to our will. It does not create a quid pro quo situation or relationship with God. Nothing you can do does. He is the potter, we are the clay. No amount of fasting or prayer will ever change that. There's nothing we can do to generate leverage with God. The only thing he wants from us is to stop trying to generate leverage with him, so his heart and power can be expressed through you. God knows full well the harm we do with the power of a loaded gun. And the only one to whom he grants the desires of their hearts are the ones whose hearts are humble before him, those whose heart's desire is his will above all else. Those are the ones who have their heart's desires fulfilled. No amount of abstinence from anything will ever change this. There is nothing you can do, or nothing you can stop doing, that will make God indebted to you. He owes us nothing. He never has. He never will. No matter what we do. Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's, and all of its contents, the world, and those who dwell in it, everything. Fasting will not change these facts, nor will you want it to. Fasting doesn't change God. Fasting acknowledges that he does not change. We do. The only thing we could offer God that he takes note of is humility. Fasting is supposed to be a physical expression of it, not a means of avoiding it. Colossians 3:12-17. As for those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, you, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, forgiving one another, whoever has a complaint against anyone, no matter what it is or who it is. Just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule your heart, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do, in word or deed, which encompasses everything, including fasting, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give thanks through him to God the Father. Fasting is not a means of avoiding these verses. Fasting is a cry to God for help in fulfilling these verses. We fast because these words convict our hearts and minds. We fast because we know we have not put on, chosen to wear, compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, even if our spirit desires to. We fast because we have not put on love and sought the perfect bond of unity. It is not only achievable, it is expected to be achieved. Never lose hope. Once we put on humility and love, then all we have to do is allow the peace of Christ to rule our hearts, to rule our emotions, and to allow the word of Christ to rule our minds and thoughts. Our hearts and our minds. We have to let him. We fast because we know that we have said and done was not said or done in the name of Jesus Christ. We know that it's not a means of expressing our thanks to God for all he's done for us through him. In this relationship, God owes us nothing, yet he has given us everything. And when you tally those facts up, it means that we owe him. This troubles us because we have no leverage. We must count wholly on his grace and love to balance our account with him. We need him to forgive us our trespasses. We can't buy them away. Our flesh hates not having leverage with God, not having power or influence to get what we want from him. We want to have power, not just to accept his grace. We want to have something of influence we can give him or take away from him. Something will bind his power to our will, so that our primal desires first revealed in Eve can be realized in us. I will be like God. The only thing he wants from us in order for his power to be unleashed is to accept his will as our own. Fasting has no value in achieving the will of Eve, but is the conduit to achieving the will of God. Fasting, or any other spiritual practice, ritual, or sacrament, does not change this equation. It doesn't erase anything from the debt column, and it adds nothing to the credit column. Fasting is an acknowledgement of this truth. It is not an attempt to change it. And here is the simple truth of everyone's account with God. Everyone here, everyone that ever was, and everyone that ever will be. Romans 3:19-24. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be closed and all the world may become accountable to God. Because by the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For through the law comes the knowledge of sin. What does the law do? It gives us knowledge of sin. I've told you repeatedly, it is the MRI of the soul. It doesn't fix anything. It just tells you you're sick. But now, apart from the law of the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law of the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all those who believe, for there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is Jesus Christ. These are the economic facts of our lives. The law has done and is doing what it was always meant to do. Prove to us that we owe God everything and that he owes us nothing. We are accountable to him because of our sins. He is not accountable to us because of our righteousness. The law is the ledger book of our lives. It has proven that we have no collateral, nothing to offer him to pay him what we owe. Everyone, including you, has been shut up What a beautiful phrase. Just shut up. Stop saying it. By the very law, we try to prove our righteousness through. We tell ourselves the lie that defies the balance sheet. I am good because I'm not as bad as another. I have no debt because I owe less than someone else. God crushes our faith in this bad math through the book of Job. Job was the most righteous man on the planet. When the books were opened and the accounts were tallied, Job too was accountable to God. At the conclusion of the book, Job drops all claims regarding what God owed him. He states, I place my hand over my mouth. I withdraw any and all claims of equity, credit, or asset. You speak and I will listen. You tell me what the final balance is, and I will accept it as truth. There is nothing we can do, no deeds or words that can change these numbers. We all owe, and what we owe must be paid. Fasting is not a means of paying down our debt. Fasting is an acknowledgement that we cannot pay it. It is not a means of gaining spiritual equity with God. It is a declaration of bankruptcy. It proclaims that we owe God everything and that He owes us nothing. It is an act of humility that states to the Lord, I am helpless without you. It is not an act that indebts God to your will. It doesn't make Him do anything. Rather, it is an acknowledgement that you can do nothing without Him. Isaiah addresses this in 29:16. He says, you turn things around in your minds. Shall the potter be considered equal with the clay? And what is made should say to its maker, He did not make me. Or what is formed say to who formed it, He has no understanding. God didn't make me, and He doesn't know what He's doing. We fast because we realize this truth and accept it. We don't fast to change it. Here's what acceptable fasting with humility produces. It's from the end of Job, after the great lesson of Job is learned. The lesson that Job learned is one that our lives is here to teach us. It's why we're here, to learn that lesson. 42:1-6. After all said and done, Job says this. And Job answered the Lord and says, I know you can do all things, and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Who is it that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have declared what I did not understand, things too powerful and too wonderful for me, things which I did not know. Hear now, and I will speak. I will ask you, and you instruct me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. Therefore, I retract and I repent in dust and ashes. If anyone had a complaint about what God owed him, it was Job, and he did not. The only thing that Job believed that God owed him was an explanation for what occurred in his life. Job knew full well that God had brought it, and he demanded to know why. The clay demanded an explanation from the potter. Job believed that God owed him an explanation because he was more righteous than anyone else. God said clearly that there was none like him on the earth, and he truly was the most righteous man on the planet. But this is a little like being the tallest munchkin in the land of Oz. It's not even close to the righteousness and holiness of God that we are required, that we owe to Him. When God came to Job, when the potter turned his attention to the complaint of the clay, he simply proclaimed who he was and who Job was in perspective. He proved to him that he was the potter and that he was the clay. He never once gave Job an explanation that he sought. God's proclamation of his self caused Job to place his hand over his mouth so he would stop saying stupid stuff to God. However, after God was done speaking to him, after the truth of who God was humbled Job, he takes his hand away from his mouth and says, I'm going to speak to you again, Lord, this time. The question I have is this, what do you want from me? What do you want me to do? When Job says in verse 2, I know that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. Job is acknowledging that God had a purpose and has a purpose for what he did. And it may be beyond his understanding, something too wonderful for him to comprehend. He knew that God may have been did something in his life that was for his good. Right here again, look above me. Job says, now that I know you, I know that I was wrong. I no longer demand an explanation from you. Job proclaims, I accept your power. I trust your judgment. I repent in dust and ashes. And part of that dust and ashes repentance is fasting. This is the acceptable fast of humility before the Lord. Not the one in the beginning of Job, the one at the end of Job. The humble repentance is the only thing we can offer God that he wants from us. Spiritual fasting is an outward manifestation of this plain and simple truth. Fasting is not an attempt to overcome the will of God with our own. Fasting is raising the white flag of surrender to the will of God. And as we know in the kingdom of God, we can only taste victory when we surrender. And when we do, God takes that white flag of surrender and he turns it into a banner of victory. God is good. Amen.